Thank you for firing up the Sunrise Church podcast. My name is Steve Garcia, and I am the lead pastor at Sunrise. We are a community of Jesus followers from all walks of life, all colors of skin, and all ages. And I hope this message you hear today inspires you to deepen your connection with Christ. And now, here is Pastor Anthony Riley. Let's dive in.
For those who don't know, my name is Pastor Anthony Riley. I'm one of the pastors here at Sunrise Church, and I'm so excited to be bringing the Word of God to you. We have been in this series entitled Get to Work. And when many of us hear that word work, we're like, work. Pastor, I'm trying to get away from work. But the Word of God declares that we do work. Because why? We get into those places where God can show the world how great and how awesome He is. So today we're going to continue our series on this topic. And in the first week, we kind of discussed God created humans to work. In the beginning, we know God created the heavens and the earth. And from there, He did His precious jewel, which is humanity. He placed us in the garden so that we can do work. He commanded us to create. He commanded us to cultivate. But most importantly, He challenged us to also make the world flourish. But because of man's disobedience, sin entered the world, and it transformed this idea of work, and it became a toil. Work was stained and made it extremely difficult because that was the verdict that came out with God when He said, because you listened to your wife, Adam, you will toil. It will be hard for you. And even though the world is broken, God still commands man to create, cultivate, as well as help this world flourish, excuse me. And that was in week one. Week two, Pastor Steve talked about this idea of bringing your faith into the workplace. So the question is when you walk into your workplace, do your employees see or your coworkers see the image of Jesus Christ? And he gave us this formula last week, and he introduced it. Christ-honoring work is integrity plus quality equals godly. Now, integrity, that should be a no-given. It's a no-brainer. Your integrity should go through all your lifespans, and you should always be being honest with yourself, most importantly, God. And how we live our life and how we show our faith is based on our purity, our honesty, and how humble we are when we get into those spaces. The other side of that, he said, plus equality. How are you working when no one is watching? Are you someone that just do the average type of a work? Or are you someone that puts all you have? Do you go above and beyond to ensure that you're honoring God in such an amazing way? Because we're called to be like Christ within those places. And how is your heart when you're doing that? So this is the third week of this series, and we're going to continue this. But today, I want to talk about work, but in a different sense, I want to talk about rest. Are you truly resting? Or are you someone who just keeps going and going and going and going? Now, the Word of God is clear. God expects us to work and partner with Him to make His creation better, but He also requires and commands that we also rest from our work and from our labor. So, I want to take the other side of that coin, and I want to talk about resting, because many of us don't know how to rest. We go on vacation, and we say, you know what? I need a break from work. I'm going to go on vacation, and then once you're on vacation, you just lose your mind. You work more on vacation than you do at work, because many of us say when we get home, I need a vacation from the vacation. So what is this idea of work, and how are we supposed to truly live it out? That means you have to have a clear understanding of what rest is. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 2. We're going to start there. However, I'm going to be jumping throughout the Old Testament. So I'm going to start there, but you might just want to take notes because I want to build the foundation on what it really means to rest. Now, giving you some background, we know in Genesis chapter 1, the gospel, God declared that he was the first one to work, and he worked six straight days. He created the universe and everything there in it, and then he created you and I. He created man. As I said before, he placed man in that place and said, I need you to work and manage it. But you must understand that the creation account does not end with Genesis 1. It's just beginning with Genesis chapter 2. And let's look at verse 1 of Genesis chapter 2. It says, thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all the vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he was doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Our God was the God to first work, but he also was the one to first take a rest. Now, you and I must understand that God is all powerful, and it's clearly that he doesn't need to rest for reasons of physical or tiredness or exhaustion. He does not need to rest so that he can become more productive, even though he already created everything. So there must be something more to rest than regaining his energy of a production line. So today, how I'm going to break this message up is I'm going to answer three questions that give us a clear understanding on what rest truly is. And then I'm going to follow up with two applications that we can take to ensure that we're properly resting in God. So these are the three questions I'm going to take today. What is the biblical definition of rest? What should rest accomplish? But most importantly, why should I rest? So let's start with the first question. What does rest mean biblically? Rest means to cease from work and enjoy the results. Yes, we're called to rest, but we're also called to relax. We're called to recharge. In the original language, the word rest is Sabbath, which means to cease from normal work. Sabbath is related to another word in the Bible, which is to dwell. So what God is saying here is God created everything, then he rested, he made it holy, then he dwelt amongst us and amongst the people. He was the first to work. He was the first to rest, but not by himself. He rested with all creation, including Adam and Eve. So we must understand that on the very day that God said, it is good, he also rested. The second question I posed you was, what should rest accomplish? You must understand that rest accomplished freshening. It allows us to recharge and thank God for his goodness. If you're always on the go, how can you not recognize God's glory in what he's doing, because you're constantly moving? In another passage on the seventh day, it says this in Exodus chapter 31. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. God found renewal in the resting. God was refreshed as he ceased from his work and he enjoyed the completion. He loved, he admired what he created. And he expects us to do the same thing with him. Which brings us to this question. Then why should we rest? Because it's demonstrated by God. Now, if you look in the New Testament, you will not find the Sabbath as far as resting. But if we mirror what God has done from the very beginning, and if you look through the life of Jesus, he took time when he rested. He took time when he separated himself from the crowds. And he took that time to come with God and get his next instructions, but also he was just glorifying his Father in heaven. God didn't just create us as workers. He made us also to be resters. Rest allows us to enter into communion with God and enjoy him at a deeper level. If you are going and going and going and going and going all the time, then how can you enjoy God on a deeper level? So why should we rest? I have two reasons why I think we should rest. This is number one. We rest to fulfill one of God's greatest purposes. We rest, hear this, in Him to fulfill one of God's greatest purposes. It's been said that the purpose of humanity is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And when sin entered the world, the place that once was great and once was shalom and once was peace was destroyed because of the disobedience of Adam and Eve. And because of that, it created a bridge, if you will, a separation, if you will, between God and man. And because of that, it broke our relationship with God. Genesis chapter 3 says this in verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord, God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man. But the Lord called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" Isn't it funny how we try to hide from God? The question is, how can you hide from Him? We think we can, so we do things to get our attention off of Him, not knowing He's watching and He's asking, "What are you doing?" And after they sinned, the Bible declares that God walked in the cool of the day and He was trying to get connection with them. But yet they were hiding because they did something they weren't supposed to. And instead of enjoying God's presence, it was replaced with fear. Sin more than disturbed our rest. Sin shattered our rest. And we try to find it in other places, in other things, when that space is only for God. So the first reason why I believe we need to rest is to fulfill God's greatest purpose. This is the second. We rest to fulfill one of God's greatest commandments. In attempt to restore what was broken from disobedience, what God did is He gave the commandments to Moses to give to the Israelites. And He gave them this idea of rest. And in Exodus chapter 20, He talks about how one is supposed to commune with God. But most importantly, it talks about how we are to rest in Him and take time for Him. In verse 8, it says this: "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the seas and all that is in them. But He rested on the seventh day." I think the reason why God put all of that in that, because many of us try to make excuses. Well, God didn't say that, so I guess I can work on this. Well, God didn't say the servants don't have to work, so I guess I can make them work. Well, He didn't say nothing about the animals, so let's get going, animals. God said, "No, I want everything to rest. It's a communal type of a thing, and you're going to rest because I need your attention. Just one day." Are you giving God your attention just one day, undisturbed? Or are you filling your time with other things? I'm not going to start poking yet. I'm trying to get you right before I start going. But God wants to be first. Why? Because He's everything. And He's a reasonable God. He said, "Can you give me one day?" And what God was doing, He was cleaning up the mess that was done in the Old Testament. Because He had to begin to get us back on track. And He said, "Now that I have to put some rules in place, because I have to get us back to that place in the Garden of Eden where you can have the true rest, the true peace in me." So He began to put that into motion. And God commanded. He didn't ask. He commanded that we separate one day for him and make it holy. Israel was supposed to stop and cease from work because God wanted to do the original plan of labor and rest that he modeled in Genesis chapter 1. So now the question becomes is, how do I find, or how do you find rest in the rest that God wants? I mean, let's face it, you know, this kind of connection that God wants from us, it's hard. It's challenging. It's not easy. How do you think Israel felt? Here it is, God takes them up out of Egypt. He walks them through the Red Sea. Now they're in the land, they're on their way to Canaan. Now he's getting things in motion. Now here comes the mammon from heaven. And God says, okay, it's time to add something else in it. He said, now that you're wandering, now that you got the pace going, I need you to take a day for me. Now, if I'm them in the desert, you're going a little bit too fast for me. I'm out here, now you're trying to give me more rules, but the rules were not to hurt them, it was to help them. So he instructed them that you will only gather once a day and you will not take nothing and hide it for later. He talks more about this in Exodus chapter 16, verse 26. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be nothing. Verse 27. Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none. Why is it when God gives us instructions, we just bullheaded? Why when God says, don't do that? It's like when we hear no, that means in our mind, yes. You know, you tell your kid, you tell your sibling, don't touch the stove, it's hot. They go right over there and touch the stove. Hot, 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 hot. I told you it was hot. Why did you have to touch the stove? It's something, it's a sin in us that calls us to go outside of God's will. Then look what God said in verse 28. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord had given you the Sabbath. That is why on the 6 days he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where they are on the seventh day. No one is to go out, so the people rested on the seventh day. So the question is, why did God implement? Why did he put this into play? I believe he wanted Israel to learn to trust him. Now, I would think they would trust him because he just delivered them from 400 years of oppression. Just like I think we should listen to him, but sometimes we just quite don't. He said, I will supply your daily needs, your daily ration. Just trust in me. I will make it work. When God asked a question in verse 28, he was really asking, when are you going to truly trust me? I'm taking care of you thus far. When are you truly going to trust me? And I believe he's asking you and I the same question. When are we truly going to trust that God has our back, our front and our sides? When are we truly going to recognize that he cares more about you than you do yourself? I'm getting started now, amen. But many of us are working double time, overtime, all the time, and we're leaving zero room for God. And then we want to blame God for what we're doing. So just as with Israel, I believe God wants us to learn to trust him too. Do you avoid regular rest that refreshes your relationship with God because you just can't afford it? Well, Pastor, I really situation don't allow me to rest. But my financial situation don't allow me to rest. You don't understand, Pastor, there's so many people depending on me. So if I stop and rest, then someone's house is going to cave in. You know, I'm trying to get that promotion, and my boss said I have to work more. So I can't rest. Or maybe your work is just who you are. Ooh. It's your identity. It's what makes you you. But according to Scripture, we are the image of Christ. And he wants us. And there's seven reasons. There's several reasons why people work and work and work. Work is important, but I also believe rest is equally as important. And God commands us to rest. How are you doing in that area? Do you find it a struggle? Are you finding different places to rest, but after you've found those places, it doesn't quench the thirst? This is one of my problems. I don't like to rest. I'll be honest. I have to go and go and go and go and go. And the truth is, it is not healthy. When I sit down for 2 hours, something has to happen. I should be doing something. Because we've been conditioned, if you're sitting, then you're not doing or you're not working. It's a difference between rest and laziness. Now, if you're just sitting on a couch every day playing Madden, amen, that's lazy. It's a difference between getting it in and doing nothing. And God expects you to work. The Bible says, he without work shall not eat. Amen. Y'all looking at me crazy. So now that we got the foundation, we laid these three questions out. The question is, how can we really find true rest? How can we rest the way God wants us to rest? And I have 2 points for you. I think if we trust God to provide the resources. Number one is we need to trust God to provide the resources. And the truth is, this is hard for many of us because we've been trained a certain kind of way. Pastor, I want to rest, but times are hard. I have to work. I have too much on my plate. That's the excuse I use. My back is against the wall. I really want to rest, but I don't have time to rest. This is a season where God wants me to work. Now, that's contrary to what God said. Now, I do believe God gives us extra grace in certain seasons when it comes to work, but we're not supposed to stay there because it's unhealthy. Mentally, physically, spiritually, you're getting depleted if you're working all the time. Exodus 16 says this. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, 2 omers for each person, and the leaders of the community came and reported it to Moses. He said to them, this is what the Lord commanded. It wasn't a request, it was a command. Tomorrow is to be a day of Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil. Save whatever is left and keep it until morning. See how reasonable our God is. He said, do what you want to do on 6 days. Boil it, fry it, cook it. But this one day is for me. Set it apart because I deemed it holy. And this is a time for you to commune with me and look at what I've created. The truth is, God's rest is counterintuitive, kind of like tithing. we tell you, you know, you need to get your bills in order. You got debt. You shouldn't have debt. But I need you to give God his first. And then y'all look at us like we're crazy. Pastor, I don't understand. Wait a second. You want me to pay my bills off, but you want me to give God some of my money? Yes. Yes, I do. It belongs to him. We're called to manage our funds, and we're also called to manage our time and our energy and who's in our space. We always want tangible proof of God's existence and goodness, but we are reluctant to apply the necessary ingredients to experience it. Those ingredients is faith and trust. You must trust that God can take more and do more for you in 6 days than in seven. You have to trust and believe God that he has all the answers. Why? Because he's created everything. The problem is you're too smart. You want to sit at the table and commune with God and tell him how he should conduct his business. It's like a two-year-old kid that comes to the house saying, Daddy, give me the keys. Because they think they know more than what they think they know, but the truth is, our God knows your end and he knows your beginning. So if he's that type of a God, don't you think he'll take care of you in 6 days? When it comes to realizing God's great purpose of rest in our lives, he draws a line in the sand and says, I'll dare you to trust me. Trust me with this. Trust me that I can make more than this. And I've been trusting God, and I'm here to tell you, my math is not God's math. One, two, three, four. We adding while he's multiplying. You know, a good example of this is Chick-fil-A. You guys know Chick-fil-A. You go there 3 times a week, amen? Well, that's my family, amen. Amen. Their motto is they're closed on Sunday. Sunday is not an option for them. I want to give you some facts. The founder of Chick-fil-A, Chewett Cathy, writes this in his book, Eat More Chicken. Closing our business on Sunday, the Lord's Day, is our way of honoring God and showing our loyalty to him. He goes on to say, my brother Ben and I closed our first restaurant on the first Sunday after we opened in 1946. And my children are committed to closing our restaurants on Sundays long after I'm gone. I believe God honors our decision and sets before us unexpected opportunities to do greater work for him because he has been loyal to us. Now, what is that greater works thou shalt do? That's Jesus talk. And because they follow God's command, let me give you their portfolio. They have over 130,000 employees. As of July of this year, they have earned $15 billion in sales. They're the eighth most profitable fast food chain in the world. They're closed 14% out of the year. And each store is averaging $4 million a year. Fewer stores than McDonald's and Subway, and they still supersede them when it comes to profit earning. Because they trusted God at his word, God is taking care of them. Now, that might not be your story, but maybe God wants to give you rest mentally. Maybe he wants to give you rest physically. He definitely wants to give you rest spiritually. But are you making time and are you following the rules? I want to challenge you to conduct an inventory of your time and then make the necessary adjustments to make it work. And I want you to find real rest. So I want you to trust God to provide the resources. This is the second thing. Trust God to provide the refreshments or the refreshment. the truth is, many of us want to do what we want to do. Pastor, I worked hard. It's time to play hard. I hear all that, but it's time for me, as I used to say, I need to get it in. And sometimes we need this Las Vegas experience will be what stays there when we go there. But the truth is, a lot of things stay in Vegas. Relationships stayed in Vegas. Money stays in Vegas. Time and energy stays in Vegas. But when that's all over, then what? It appears to be good for refreshment, for enjoyment, and for memories, but that's the same mindset Eve had. When she looked at the fruit, she said, you know, it looked pretty refreshing. It looks pleasing to the eye. I know God said don't, but you know, I know more than God. It didn't just cost her peace. It cost her the work. It didn't lead to refreshment. It led to depletion. And part of the reason we get rest wrong is because we try to hide from God by taking breaks from him. Do you have any guilty pleasures? I wish I wouldn't have did that. Did they really give you refreshment? Look what Jesus said in Matthew 11. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There are many reasons why people are weary and burdened. It didn't say or, it said and. We're overextended, so we force to make and work multiple jobs. Many of us are just work alcoholics. You know, we love the grind of it. It's our status. And many of us work to avoid the real situations. Truth is, many of y'all don't want to go home. Many of you don't want to work with them children. It's easy to go to work, so you know what? Are they asleep yet? Or many of us don't want to deal with ourselves. But how can you run from yourself? That's insanity. We all have different life rhythms, and whatever the reason, God commands us to rest. Jesus says, come and I will give. It's not an option. He said, I will give you rest. And many of us are burdened because we refuse to come to him. When we say yes to something, we are saying no to something else. When we're saying yes to something, we're saying no to something. And you fill in that something. And many of our lives are complicated because we make them complicated. But God wants to give you and I a new perspective. He wants to give you the true perspective on rest, and it begins with his son, Jesus Christ. If you're going to go back to the place where God wants you to be, and that's rest, real rest, we have to make some grown-up decisions. We have to really understand that what I'm doing, I'm on this hamster wheel and it's going absolutely nowhere, but I'm spinning. And if God can take care of Israel and he's been taking care of this universe, then he can take care of you and I. But it starts first with you trusting him with the resource. But then most importantly, you must be able to give it to him. And begins with knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you're trying to be your own Savior or your own Lord, it's not going to get you anywhere. If you really want to get it cleaned up, it begins with accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He wants to take us back to the shalom. He wants to take us back to the original plan that he had for man. And as to rest in him and to sit with him. But you must first have your priorities straight. Do you know him? Him means Jesus. Here at Sunrise Church, we simply say ABCs. You must admit that you're broken. You must admit that you don't have the answers. You must admit that you need help. That's the first step. But then you must believe that God sent his son for you and I, that he can begin to turn your life around. But nothing moves until you commit. We commit to every other thing. Can we commit to Jesus? You're committed to working 6-7 days a week. You're committed to that overtime. Can you commit to giving God just one day of your time? He wants to be with you. He yearns to speak with you, but you must say yes. And if that's you, I'm about to lead you into a prayer. And I know God is ministering to your heart. I know he wants to get it in order. But it starts with surrender. So if everyone could just bow their heads and close their eyes. This is for the person in the room. And I know you're here. That you're broken and you're on this hamster wheel and you're trying to figure, what's my next step? That is your next step. Surrendering to Jesus. If that's you, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Jesus, I'm broken. Jesus, I don't have all the answers. Despite what it looks like, Father God, I will trust you. I give my life to you. I believe that you sent your son for me. And today, I'll give you my life. That's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. If that was you, I want to say congratulations to the family. God is going to do something amazing in your life. But for the rest of us, how are you doing in your rest? Are you ceasing from your work? If you're not, I need you to take that day. I need you to trust that God will provide. I need you to trust that God will give you the true refreshment that you need, not man. So I want to challenge you this week, just the next 7 days, I want you to commune with God. Ask God, ask Jesus to go on a date. Jesus, would you mind walking in the park with me? How about me and you, Jesus, go to dinner? How about let's take a ride up to the mountain? How about let's go see a movie? How about you fill in the blank and just take that time and just rest in Jesus? And I guarantee you, the rest that you've been looking for will be right there, because we serve a God that shall not lie. Amen? Give him a hand clap, amen. We serve a great God. This has been an amazing series for me. I thought I knew what rest is, but every Monday we as campus pastors get together and my mind has been blown every week. Please trust God. It's time to get to work. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for the man in here. Thank you for the women in here, Father God, who has made the decision to follow you. Today, moving forward, we're going to trust you. It might not look right, but we're going to trust you. As we prepare to collect our offerings and tithes, Father God, may we continue in worship. We're just managers of what you've given us, Father God, and I pray that we will surrender not just our lives to you, but what is yours from the beginning with, which is our finances. We thank you. We love you in Jesus' name. And we all say amen. And God bless you.
Thanks again for listening to this podcast. I want to encourage you to not just stop here. Maybe you sense God is speaking to you today and wanting you to take that next step. So here's two ways you can do just that. The first is text the word next to the number 909-281-7797. That's 909-281-7797. You'll receive a message back with some ways to help you grow. That may mean joining a small group or finding a place to serve or just talking with someone one-to-one about your faith. You can also visit the notes for this podcast and follow the links provided. And if you're within driving distance of one of our four physical locations in Banning, Ontario, Rialto, or Victorville, we'd love for you to stop by sometime and give us a chance to meet you personally. Again, we want to thank you for listening, and we hope to see you soon. God bless.